Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Science Catholic Radio, and bringing you this newly titled show called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. So happy All Hallows Eve to you all tonight. And today I'll be, or this evening I'll be talking about All Hallows Eve and how we got Halloween and why is it called that and the origins of this, and talking about saints and all sorts of stuff regarding to tonight's All Hallows Eve. And so before we get on with the show, I'd like to just say a quick prayer and pray the Our Father together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right. Again, this program is called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And why I named it that, it's because we as Catholic Christians are signed with the cross of Christ. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're delivered through the Our Father prayer, which we just prayed today. And I'm hoping to deliver, you know, insightful commentary from a Catholic perspective and talk about timely things such as All Hallows Eve. And so, you know, tonight, again, it's called All Hallows Eve, and where we know it as Halloween. And just like how we think about Christmas Eve, it's like the night before, you know, and so the night, Christmas Eve being the night before Christmas, and All Hallows Eve is the night before All Saints Day, which would be November 1st. So it's amazing we already are at the end of October, October 31st, and we're ending this month, which was dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary. And tomorrow being November 1st, the whole month of November is dedicated to Holy Souls. So we'll talk a little bit about the Holy Souls and how it all relates to all to Halloween. And also just know that tomorrow, since it is All Saints Day, it is one of the holy days of obligation. So please remember that as faithful Catholics, we should make it to Mass. So these are some of the six holy days of obligation that we go to during the church year. And so we have this as November 1st. Or those of you who are going tonight for the vigil Mass, you know, that also is included for All Hallows Eve, you know, as for All Saints Day. Anyway, you know, since we're on the eve of this, I wanted to talk about some of the history or the practice of Halloween. You know what? It originally, from what I found out, that Pope Boniface the IV, back in the year 609 AD, actually had ordered an anniversary for all the saints to be honored on May 13th. It was back in 609 or 610 AD, and he really consecrated the Pantheon in Rome to the Virgin Mary and all the martyrs. And so when, you know, we have on our regular Catholic calendar all these different saints, but it doesn't list every single one of them for the 365 days. And sure, we can have multiple saints on a particular day, but having All Saints Day would cover all the rest that we don't celebrate in the universal church and, you know, worldwide. But anyway, so originally what I wanted to point out was May 13th, 609 was the original All Saints Day. And some of you listening may realize that May 13th is also a very special day, because in 1917, that's when Our Lady of Fatima, you know, she appeared in 1917. But we know now All Saints Day was moved to November 1st. And this was actually moved back in the year 735, or actually Pope Gregory IV moved it to November 1st in 844. So, and part of the reason was because it was a pagan holiday, and you know, contrary to what some people may think, that you know, the way that Halloween is celebrated now, it's not you know, it was really not about a pagan holiday. What we as Catholic Christians try to do is to Christianize things that are not, you know, holy or pagan. And so this was the Catholic Church way of really focusing and trying to Christianize what was taken by the world, you know, in the wrong way. So this was the importance of changing that this feast day to November 1st in 844 A.D. And so we want to make sure that when we celebrate Halloween or All Hallows Eve, that we are really trying to give honor to different saints. You know, I wanted to also just thank any of the new listeners here on this program. You know, last week I did get a chance to give a talk on the power of the rosary to some young adults out in St. Peter and Paul's church there. So welcome any of the young adults who are now tuning in. And I wanted to just make sure that people who want to come to another talk that I'm giving locally here coming up on December 4th, and it's on the Eucharist. It's called The Transformative Power of the Eucharist. And I will be at St. Mary of the Assumption Church in Hockessin, Delaware. And it'll start at 6:30. It's for women. It's a women's group. And so to go on their website to the smachurch.com, and then you'll be able to sign up and to, you know, hear me speak there on the transformative power of the Eucharist. I just wanted to make sure I make that announcement before I go on. But why I wanted to mention about these saints is, you know, people think when we talk about saints that it actually is only about those who were officially canonized as saints in heaven. Well, that's one way of thinking about it, but I wanted to just share like a definition of what we know as saints, because in the Bible originally, specifically in Colossians chapter 1, verse 2, is, you know, St. Paul talks to the people of Colossae as saints. And so in the early church, saints were people who were Christian in general, but it was also restricted to people who were really eminent for their holiness. And I'm getting this, you know, this definition from the Modern Catholic Dictionary from Father John Hardin, the Venerable John Hardin. And so, you know, we come to know a saint in our time as somebody where the church made a solemn declaration through canonization that they're a saint. But however, you know, that's, you know, people in the early church, like I said, who are Christians, they were called saints. And there's many, many scripture verses that talk about such saints, just like I mentioned in Colossians. But again, if a person had really eminent holiness, they would be distinguished as one of the saints of old that were living. And so the other part is, you know, I just wanted to mention scripture where, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. It does say that, you know, other people came out of their graves and he called them saints, or what scripture calls them saints. So here we are on the eve of All Saints Day, that we know and try to expand that understanding to that it's just not those who are in heaven right now, but it's also, you can consider the early church saints, but also us who are like saints in progress, right? In under construction, so to speak. And so when we talk about this, you know, what about the practices of Halloween? You know, many people go around going trick-or-treating and they wear costumes and we wonder, you know, are we actually partaking in glorifying evil? Are we as Catholics like permitted to, you know, celebrate or partake in Halloween, especially how it's depicted right now? as I mentioned in the early in the past, that you know it was really to pray for those who are saints or those souls who died. But today, just like kind of Christmas, if you think about it, you know, Christmas wasn't commercialized up until, you know, the 20th century, especially like through, you know, different advertisements and drinks such as, you know, I don't know if it was because of the Coca-Cola ads, you know, popularizing Santa, you know, as an elf in the North Pole versus the real person, St. Nicholas, who was a bishop in Turkey, was it, or Armenia. But the same thing here with Halloween, that it was commercialized into something where, you know, people dress up the way they do right now versus how we can transform things, if we think about it, to back how it was in the olden days when people would take either some sort of, you know, not a turnip, but a squash, or they would take the pumpkin and they would carve it. They would carve it in the shape or facial features of a loved one who passed away and would put a candle to have like a votive candle or a candle to remember their loved one who would pass. And so these are some of the original understanding of how all these, you know, we had All Saints that were praying, you know, for these people who passed away. And so people would carve, you know, turnips, you know, and to make these originally as jack-o'-lanterns. And again, things it's changed right now where it looks a lot of, you know, evil out there of people, you know, or dressing up as, you know, devilish or, you know, satanic or demons. And this is where, you know, if you look around the internet and hear, see different comments, such as from a well-known exorcist is Father Chad Ritberger, you know, he addresses the fact that, you know, it's not a good idea to be doing that, right? So one thing is, like, I know a friend of mine, Jesse Romero, what he would do on Halloween is when people would come over to his home, they would, you know, they would not only give candy, but he'd dress up in, something that shows that he's a believing Catholic, you know, and he would actually give some religious medals in addition to the candies for the kids. So he makes sure they get that. And so I had the idea, you know, I didn't do it this time now, but in the past we would buy some holy medals, religious medals and holy cards and give that to people and kids in addition to the different candy. And also this calls into a question, well, what do people wear, right? I mean, I love it when I see people, you know, having fun, of course, but also not glorifying evil, but, you know, doing some innovative types of costumes, whether that be, I remember seeing some people dressed up as, you know, foosball characters, right? The soccer players. And there'll be three or four of them all connected, you know, horizontally with some sort of tube. And they'd walk around the neighborhood as, you know, whether there were three or four of them all in a row trying to get the candy. And of course, they couldn't appear in the front door that way. Oh, with all four of them going across, it wouldn't fit into the doorway. But they'd have to go, you know, kind of at an angle to the doorway to get some of the candy. But those are kind of fun things. But also, just like how I remember, like our kids when we go to the Catholic school, they dress up as different saints. Or you can just dress up. Well, you know, I remember as a kid, of course, dressing up as an astronaut or something like that. But these are fun things that we can do, so we can not necessarily glorify evil, but we're again trying to recall that we're praying for those souls, and we're also honoring the different saints. And so it's very important to know that we as Catholic Christians are able to celebrate, you know, Halloween, and it's definitely best to dress up, you know, as something fun like that, and not necessarily try to what you call glorify evil, right? We don't want to condone any of this satanic activity and so forth that can happen. And so it's also good, you know, when you go out there this evening to, you know, and say some prayers, just a quick prayer to your guardian angel, St. Michael, the archangel. And you can also remember the different souls, different loved ones who passed away, and you can, and, you know, and to try to remember them. And you ask God for guidance and peace. We always want to be safe out there. But again, we're trying, if we try to bring back what is this about, you know, it's really to honor all those souls who have passed, but those saints who we, if we include those who are in heaven, but also those who are in purgatory. You know, this is a Catholic doctrine that we have about purgatory, and it brings up another question. Well, and which is related to Halloween. You know, is purgatory something that the Catholic Church made up? And so, you know, people may wonder and think, oh, it doesn't ever say the word purgatory in heaven. So you Catholics might have made this up. And just like and just like that, people start to think that, oh, this is something that's not really true. However, I wanted to bring a point about it where if we think about scripture, we know that Jesus brought, you know, Peter, James, and John up to Mount Tabor and had his face transfigured. In other words, he appeared where he to the three apostles there that, you know, in his glory. And he appeared there. And when he appeared there, he also was conversing with Moses and Elijah. And if you look at that or really think about what happened, I mean, when he talked to Moses and Elijah on Mount Tabor, when Jesus was speaking to them, that the apostles, Peter, James, and John, recognized who those two people were. They were Moses. I mean, again, he died, whatever it was, 1,400 years beforehand, approximately. And then Elijah was there. They recognized who they were, even though they were from ages gone past. And so my point here was, we know that Moses had died. You know, he died in Mount, and wasn't able to go to the Promised Land. He died and was buried in Mount Nebo. And so we know he died, yet he was talking to Jesus. And we have three witnesses there beside Jesus, who was Peter, James, and John, that recognized that was Moses. And Moses was alive talking to Jesus. Yet they know scripturally in the Hebrew, you know, scriptures that he died and was buried. And then what about Elijah, who was also there with Jesus and Moses and the three apostles? Well, in scripture, it talks about Elijah, that he actually didn't die. He was taken up into heaven by God. And so why I mention this is because this actually gives credence to a third place besides heaven and hell, leaving the door open to a belief such that we have as Catholics as limbo, the fathers, and purgatory. And so why is that? Well, because if you think about it, Moses, he of course could not go to hell because he was God's prophet and he received the Ten Commandments. And so there's no way that he would go to hell, but at the same time, he didn't go to heaven yet because God didn't make that exception like he did to Elijah and another person by the name of Enoch. He, Jesus didn't open up the gates of heaven for everybody to go in there, all those who died and those who are in the place called Limbo of the Fathers. He didn't open that up yet until Easter Sunday. So the question is, where did Moses go if the gates of heaven have not been open? And for sure, Moses wouldn't have gone to hell. So where is he waiting? So here we have a place, a third place is the point, where we would think of the limbo of the fathers, but also you think about purgatory as well. And so this is part of the place, the state, I should say. You know, I'm not talking about like one of these 50 states of the United States. I'm talking this state where a person goes to, a deceased person. And, you know, there's different scripture verses that indirectly talk about purgatory without using the word purgatory. And so, for instance, I'll talk about 1 Peter 3, where Jesus, you know, speaks to the spirits in prison. And so that can't be in jail, because why would Jesus, in hell, because why would Jesus speak to spirits in prison unless he can also release them, because this is where he wants to, speak to them? Because we say that in our creed, right, that Jesus descended into hell. But also Jesus also talks about how, that people will be, that they'll be released after they paid the very last penny. So it's a place or a state where people who have died that are not perfect yet, that need to be cleansed and purged of their sins before they can enter into heaven. Because our Lord does say, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And in Revelation, it talks about that nothing unclean shall enter heaven. So there's this gives rise to the understanding that there is this other place called purgatory, that people need to be purged of their sin, because we're not perfect when we die, most likely, then we need to be cleaned of this. Because again, it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, that nothing unclean shall enter heaven. And so Jesus also wants us to make sure that we have this opportunity. It's a sign of mercy that God has for us, because if we die with not a mortal sin, a sin that breaks the Ten Commandments, if we die with some other sins on us, we're not able to go there. And if he didn't have this place called purgatory, how would we ever enter into heaven without a place to be cleaned up? One analogy I give, and you might have heard this in the past, is like, you know, when you go home, that even though like you drove into your driveway and your car may be in the driveway or in front of your garage, you say you're home, but you're not inside the home proper, right? And let's say it's snowy or muddy outside, and you clean your shoes out in the mudroom, and before you actually enter into the main part of the house. Well, you still are at home, but the point is, purgatory is kind of like being on heaven's property, or heaven's porch, or heaven's mudroom, where you get cleaned up before you enter in proper. So yes, you're home. You're part. You're going to heaven. You're there, but you're not in heaven proper. So I don't know if that makes sense to you all, but so purgatory is for all the people who are going to heaven but need to get cleaned up from the mudroom, so to speak, or they're on heaven's porch, or they're in the driveway there. They're on the property of heaven, you know, per se, you know, there, but they need to get cleaned up. So that, if that helps as far as understanding. And I bring this up here because when we talk about Halloween, All Hallows Eve, hallowed mean holy, okay? So like when we pray the Our Father, you know, hallowed be thy name, what we're saying is that God, his name is holy. And so this evening is actually a holy evening, because we're giving veneration, we're giving honor to the different saints, these heroes of ours who made it to heaven, and also the holy souls, our loved ones who lived a good life, and they did good things, and they followed God's teachings and laws, but are needing prayers, Why? Because they need to be purged of any kind of imperfection before they can enter into purgatory and enter into heaven, I should say. And so it's important to know about purgatory, the place where they will be while they are waiting to be released from paying the very last penny, so to speak, before they reach into heaven. And, you know, I use the word penny in the spiritual sense, right? If you think about when we pray the Our Father, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So there's a debt that we owe to people and to God, and it's not necessarily money. So and we've done things wrong, and we need to pay for that one way or another. We need to repair for that. And this actually goes into, you know, the teaching about confession, the sacrament of confession, also the teaching about purgatory. So, you know, this is where we also need to know about saints, that the saints that we have here, we don't worship them. We're not putting saints as if they're God, you know, or gods. They're regular people, like I mentioned to you. They can be people, like I said, where they are in the process of trying to be perfected. These are people like you and I. We're trying to follow God's commandment. We're trying to love God, love neighbor. But the saints in heaven are the ones who already made it there, or they might have been canonized formally by the church. But we in no way worship them. And this is where some people think, oh, well, what about you call the Blessed Mother a saint, you know, Saint Mary or Saint Joseph? Don't you Catholics seem to be worshiping her? Well, if you really ask us Catholics, there won't be anyone, as far as I imagine, will say that we think that, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary or Saint Mary or Saint Joseph is God. We don't worship them as God. We worship God alone. We give honor and what you call appropriate respect to these saints who are a good example to us because they were able to follow God's law, love God and love neighbor. And so they are ways that we can also call upon them and ask for help. And so, you know, just to be clear that these saints are people that we should follow. And so it'd be great to actually have, you know, kids dress up as saints, especially the younger saints, kids, you know, to have them understand that, you know, they can dress up as an angel, they can dress up, you know, as different saints, as heroes and so forth. And so it's just a word of advice out there if you still are getting things ready to go outside and go trick-or-treating. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour right now. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be back. So let's take a break and then we'll continue on talking about All Hallows Eve.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2418. 2906. Or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on Signed, Sealed, and Delivered, where we're signed with the cross of Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and delivered through the Our Father prayer. And happy All Hallows Eve to you all. And I hope you have a good evening trick-or-treating out there and learning a little something from this radio show here on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. And so I was talking about the different costumes, and I was leaving off where, you know, kids, it's great for them to, you know, have fun and dress up in different costumes. I mentioned how, you know, back in the day, I was whatever, an astronaut, or people can dress up as, you know, soccer players on a like foosball, you know, or different occupations, you know, that they may be interested in, whether that's like a doctor, you know, or somebody into martial arts or fireman. But also the little kids can dress up as saints. I remember in particular my own son, who dressed up as Saint Joseph of Cupertino. I don't know if you all know about who Saint Joseph of Cupertino. You might recognize the name or the city called Cupertino, because that is the headquarters of, you know, Apple Computer. Anyway, Cupertino was the place where Saint Joseph of Cupertino was from. He was known as a person who levitated, actually maybe the most times out of any other saint. And so when I told this story to my eldest son when he was a kid, he was really excited about Saint Joseph of Cupertino levitating, that he wanted to dress up like a little monk. So we had him in a brown robe. You know, we put a little fake beard on him, and we brought him to, you know, Mass also. And he actually looked like the priest celebrating there at Villanova when we went. It was St. Thomas of Villanova, the Rosemont Chapel we came in. Just, I remember how the priest there, Father Michael, just loved how he actually looked like, because he always looked like Father Michael there. But he was really St. Joseph or Cupertino. He also kind of looked like Padre Pio, so if you can imagine that. But anyway, so my son was, I think he was 4 or 5 when he was dressed up this way. And so my point was, he loved playing these games and dressing up as saints. I remember another time I got him a outfit that he dressed up wearing the armor of God. You know, where actually that was the reading for today from Ephesians, that, you know, where it says put on the armor of God, that, you know, you gird your loins with truth, you clothe yourself with righteousness as a breastplate, and then your feet is shod ready for the gospel, and then the shield of faith, and then, you know, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So anyway, you might have seen this at some of the, you know, Christian bookstores or some other stores there, where they actually have the helmet, the shield, you know, the sword. And that I just remember my oldest son loving wearing that. And I'd tell him stories about how, you know, David and Goliath. So what I'm trying to explain is, when we foster these types of practices, it can really help, you know, the children, and the family. And, you know, fast forward to when he, you know, 20 years later, he actually becomes a Catholic priest. And so currently, you might know about him, you know, my son, Father Anthony Raimundo, as a, you know, a Catholic priest now in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. He's a priest for 5 years, and he's the parochial administrator out there in Oxford, Pennsylvania. And so my point was that we, as a family, you know, try to foster the right way of, in my opinion, the right way of practicing, you know, Halloween, that I would always encourage our, you know, our boys and girls, you know, we have six of them, you know, to always dress up in something wholesome, something fun, you know, playful, but always to keep in mind not to glorify evil. So, you know, whether it's like, you know, monsters or ghosts, in good taste, that can be done, of course. You know, I'm not trying to be a downer in kids having fun, but at the same time, we want to make sure what origins do we have as Catholic Christians? What role should we take out there as far as, you know, the religious roots of Halloween, and how do we navigate, you know, the customs and the celebrations of that? Because then people have this idea that Halloween is not a holy evening. It's really how, you know, evil is persisting and being glorified, and we don't want to partake in that. And so, again, you know, there was a historical practice in trick-or-treating called souling. This is something new to me that I found out, that there's this historical practice of souling where beggars would receive soul cakes from families in exchange for prayers for their deceased loved one. So again, beggars would come for these soul cakes, and that families would give to them, and they would ask for prayers for their deceased loved ones. And so this is like a tradition to the modern trick or treating. And so, you know, other thoughts. I don't know what your practices are as far as trick or treating, like if there's actually tricks that you guys would do. I don't recall ever doing that as a family when people would come to our door, but we've given, you know, like I said, the various treats and all that. And I just remember people would be very surprised when we would give holy cards or, you know, blessed miraculous medals or other religious sacramentals like that. But we would get that chance then to explain what it is, because some people didn't know. And we never had anybody like reject it. They would always be respectful. They'd be so thankful. They would be happy about it, or they would say something like, and these are the kids. And the parents would be there, you know, waiting for them, and they wouldn't say, you know, give it back or anything. No, they would always be respectful and take it from us, knowing that when they come to our house, at least they'd be safe getting whatever candies or treats, and they get a little Catholic heritage as far as them being taught what the meaning behind Halloween is. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, this on the other side of Halloween, you know, there are a lot of bad things that happen. And from, you know, animals getting sacrificed or, you know, different witches and warlocks and Satanists and Wicca. You know, there are those real events and occurrences that happen that, you know, people take advantage of this where – you know, it's like a high holy day for those who talk about that or who believe in that. But this is where we want to make sure that we pray for everyone, especially those people who are struggling or thinking that's what it's all about. We want all the people, you know, to make it to heaven. We want everyone to be happy here on earth and happy in heaven. And so right now, when we see people who are not following the ways of our Lord and of our faith, we should always be respectful, but also pray for them so they too can come to know God and love God and serve Him and want to be with Him, which is in heaven. And so essentially we're all being called to be saints. And this is where, you know, we ask people to, you know, to really pray for other people. And that leads to the other question about here. Is it right for us to pray for other people? And of course it is, right? You know, because some people may have this misunderstanding where we only go straight to God. Well, yes, we can go straight to God and ask, because he's the only intercessor. He's the mediator, I should say, between the Father, you know, and us. However, it doesn't mean we can't go to somebody else between Jesus and us. Namely, these are the saints. And so this is where St. Paul himself, actually, you know, he says to the believers, to all the different saints, to pray for him, and that we should also pray for others. So we too are intercessors for other people when they are living, but also we can ask for those people who've made it to heaven to pray for us, because they are united with God now and could actually help us. So if you're able to pray for loved ones who might be still in purgatory, when they get released from purgatory, they will be extremely happy and thankful to the one who helped release them from such purgation, or from this prison of suffering, until they pay for it. And so this brings another topic out. Since tomorrow is the start of November 1st, that the first 8 days of November is usually dedicated to the holy souls, where if we do certain practices like praying for them at the cemetery, that we can help release a holy soul from purgatory on each of those days. So on, you have 8 days to help release various souls of your prayers. So, like, for instance, my wife and I, we would go to the cemetery and we pray specifically for certain family members who have passed. And we would make sure that, let's say, I'll say to my wife, I said, okay, who do you want to pray for today, this first day of November 1st? Well, maybe she may want to pray for her father, and then I'll pray for my father, you know, because both of our parents have passed away. And then so we can dedicate that day to helping them be released from purgatory if they're still there. Well, what about if they're already in heaven? Well, God knows, of course, and our prayers won't go to waste. And of course, our Lord will apportion those intentions, those prayers, to somebody else in our family, if he wants to, or whoever he thinks is in most need of our prayer. So it's not gone to waste at all. And so this is where you can use each of those days as a way to help release somebody from purgatory. Again, this is based on our belief as Catholics through Scripture that there is such a place as purgatory, that our prayers here can help those people who have died in grace, right, to get to heaven. Now, also, this is actually talked about in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Maccabees, that there was the second Maccabees, chapter 12, where there is an atonement for the dead to free them from their sin. The Jews actually believe this, those who read and followed Maccabees, that you can atone for the dead by such prayers. You can free them from their sin so they can get to heaven. And I'm not saying that they believed you can help release somebody from hell. No, I'm talking about that. Those are unforgivable sins, where if you have a mortal sin, if it's unforgiven, then you can't get out of hell. But if you have a venial sin, a small sin, that you could be released from, you know, purgatory. So let's say small sins are being, you know, angry, like it's just like irritated or impatient. It's not like you're very ugly type of anger, where a person is in rage, where they now want to do violence to people or themselves or to property. No, I'm not talking about that, because there's a certain degree of anger where it gets to be so bad that it is a mortal sin, and it goes under breaking the fifth commandment of thou shalt not kill. We know Jesus actually had anger, but his anger was righteous anger. It was just and proper. So there is just and proper anger. What I'm talking about is a lower level of anger where It's sinful in the sense that, let's say you're angry about impatient and you might spout off and saying something where you shouldn't have chose those words, or you weren't really charitable or nice, and you can get forgiven for that, but it's not going to send you to hell. It's not one of these sins where, you know, you're so angry where you're saying God's name in vain, you're doing something, and now you get you're vengeful and you want to hurt somebody because of that, and you hurt their property or that person. So my point is that when people die in a state of venial sin, these sins can be paid for, right, by their time and suffering in purgatory. Now, I know this gets getting off a little bit into the weeds where, you know, I know this is Halloween, but it all fits together about purgatory and these holy souls. But the part that I wanted to say was that there is such a thing as time in purgatory, and it's different. The time in purgatory is not the same kind of time that we have here on earth. So in other words, you know, 60 minutes equals an hour for us here, or 60 seconds equals a minute, you know, 60 minutes equals an hour, you know, 24 hours is a day. That's not how it is in purgatory. And I think the way they describe time in purgatory is what you call aveternity, where, you know, whereas a person who is in heaven or hell, that's eternity, right? A person is going to live in eternal happiness in heaven or eternal punishment in hell. But what about the people who are not in heaven yet? They are in eternity, but it's different. It's not eternal happiness. People in purgatory are not eternally happy yet. They're still suffering. They're paying for their debts. They're paying for their spiritual debts that they did. And so they have a time there. It's called aveternity. And why is there a certain time? Because we know there's a beginning and there's an end. There's a time when they enter and when they leave. And so this leads into a story that I wanted to share about how there was a person who was dying. Apparently, it sounds like it was cancer, and really was so overcome with all the pain and suffering, and really wanted to already go to heaven. This person was a good person, but was suffering unduly with the cancer, and somehow God allowed the angel to communicate to this person who had the cancer, and to give the choice that, do you want to go to, you know, to die already, you know, end the suffering, but then spend the time in purgatory, versus if you live for 3 years more and then die and go directly to heaven. So in other words, do you want to end the suffering right now and die and then spend, you know, 3 days in purgatory? Or do you want to live another 3 years here on earth, but then don't spend any time in purgatory and go directly to heaven? And so that was the question. So is it better to wait 3 years or just go right now? But the whole guarantee is you're going to get to heaven. It's just, do you want to go through purgatory, or do you want to wait 3 years here on earth and then go directly to heaven? So anyway, so what happened? The person decided they just want to die now, knowing that they're going to make it to heaven. But the deal was, so to speak, if I can use those words, was that person was going to stay 3 days in purgatory. So the person actually did die. And so now I might have got it wrong as far as calling it days versus hours, okay? But the point is still the same. So the person's in purgatory and now waiting, let's say it was for 3 days. And the angel said that he would come and get the person and bring them to heaven after they did their time in purgatory. Well, the person was saying, well, you know, it's been 3 days now, but it actually feels like it's 3 years now, and you're still not releasing me yet from purgatory. I thought the promise was if I spent 3 days here that I will get to go to heaven. And the angel was trying to calm the person down and say, or help them understand that, yes, we have to wait until the 3 days are over. But it seems like it's over 3 days. It seems like it's about 3 years. Why is it taking this long? And so the angel basically said, you don't understand. You really don't. So what do you mean? It's very simple. It's about 3 days, and 3 days was over. Well, he said, no, you don't understand. Right now on the earth, your body is still warm. So, and the person had to stop and think about it. What do you mean my body's still warm? I've been here at least three days, and it seems like 3 years. What do you mean my body's still warm? Well, the angel helped him realize that his body on earth had just died and is still warm, and that it hadn't even gone, you know, it didn't harden up, it wasn't like cold yet. It was, in other words, he had freshly died, and his spirit left his body, and the spirit is in purgatory. And so literally his body was just dead for a few minutes on earth, but in purgatory, this soul thought it was at least 3 days, but it felt like it was 3 years. And so this just helps illustrate, I hope you understand, or if I explained it right, that the time in purgatory is so much different. The perception or the eternity is so much different than here on earth. And so this is why we need to pray for those souls who are in purgatory. And for the most part, it would seem that people would go to purgatory more so than make it directly to heaven. Because if you think about it, that how many of us can really say that we're in such a perfect state in our soul that there is no small sin, such as these venial sins that are on our soul? Like, how many of us can say we haven't like gotten very impatient and said something, or gossiped and said something about somebody? And then, you know, those aren't right to, you know, have gossip or detraction or calumny, or to spout off at somebody that's uncharitable. How many of us can say that we haven't done that? I mean, maybe we can say that after we went to confession. That'd be great. I mean, people like Saint Therese, the little flower, she was noted by her spiritual director as not having committed a mortal sin. And that's pretty incredible for a spiritual director to say. And so, yes, there are people that have done that, but it's rare and very far and few between. And this is where, you know, when we think about some of our loved ones, many of us are so charitable to our loved ones, thinking that when they die, they make it directly to heaven. But, I mean, who are we to say if they're not in heaven? But in all probability, you wonder, like, really, did our loved ones, as good as they are and how much we love them, do we really know their soul? It's up to God, right? God knows if they're totally perfect without sin. And I'm just thinking, well, wow, people like Saint Therese, they can make it straight there, but how straight to heaven? But how many of us can be like that? I don't know. I'm just thinking there's probably way more people that go to purgatory than we think that, you know, and so this is why it's very important for us to pray for our loved ones and not assume that they just made it straight to heaven. And again, even if we pray for them and they are in heaven, well, God doesn't waste those prayers, right? He allows those prayers to spill over, and he apportions that to somebody else, for our family or whoever he thinks is the best. And so that's the point. I know on this program that I've talked about various things besides the All Hallows Eve and how it started and the jack-o'-lantern and costumes and things. But I also thought it's very important for people to know about the doctrine of purgatory and what saints are, and that, you know, how do and about the time in purgatory. And I wanted to put just a little twist on different things here that we that many people will hear on whatever channel you turn to, or YouTube, or whatever radio shows you may be listening to. And so I hope that the program here has answered some of the questions or, you know, confusions about how us Catholics, Christians, you know, celebrate the Halloween, and we give honor to all the different saints, and we pray for all the souls. And so I also wanted to just add that when you go out there, again, it's good to just say a quick prayer to your guardian angel or to St. Michael. You can also take some holy water and, you know, bless yourselves, or, you know, bless your home, your front door, to sanctify this time and place, and that to keep your home happy and focused on the Lord. And so we thank you again for joining me here. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off here on In His Sign Catholic Radio, WTMR 800 AM, Where the Master Reigns. And just so you know, again, if anybody wants to come and see me talk, any women at St. Mary's of the Assumption in Hockessin, Delaware, that'll be on December 4th at 6:30. So please go on their website, smachurch.com, and then you can sign up there for the talk on the transformative power of the Eucharist. Well, God bless you, everyone. Have a great All Hallows Eve. Take care now. Bye-bye.